So Sunday we were speaking from Psalms. I'm going to be very short tonight, maybe half an hour. We pick it up Sunday. But in Psalms 142, if you can just put that Psalms up there for me. Psalms 142, and then we went down to the last verse, which is what? Verse 7, where the psalmist was praying and said, "Bring my soul out of prison." And the reason why, bring me out so I can praise your name. Now, when you begin to praise the name of the Lord, do you know what you're doing? When you begin to praise the name of the Lord, you see, you're coming out of defeat, bring my soul out of prison. You're coming out of weakness, destruction, into strength. Bring my soul out of prison, death, destruction, the clutches, the grips of Satan, where Satan has power over you and you're separated from God. But notice where you're heading. When he brings you out of prison, he's bringing you into a strong place. Because the scripture says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run it into it, and they are saved. Okay? And safe means he sets you and I. He lifts you up into the glory. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto you. He lifts us up out of that low dungeon. Okay? Psalms 40. That low out of the dust. I think it was Anna said, he raised up the poor out of the dust and set them among princes. Then he goes on this one part, this poor man cried unto the Lord. And he saved me. He delivered me. So that's what the Lord does. When you're in prison, notice it's not natural prison. Not natural prison we're talking here, but it's a spirit prison where your soul is in prison. But Jesus Christ came even then to set to deliver the spirits that was in prison, to preach to them. That's another lesson. But it's a beautiful lesson. He went and preached peace unto the spirits in prison. Now, but he said, bring my soul out of prison. Yes. Now, for the Lord to bring your soul out of prison, he himself had to enter into that prison. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. And died. Yes. And shed his blood. Yes. To set us free. Yes. Because our freedom comes because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, what does it do? Save us, cleanse us, deliver us from all sin. All right, so he said, if you're praying to get out of prison, it means that somebody puts you in jail. Somebody locks you in. And you have someone who's a guard are over you while you're in prison. You don't have a freedom. He said, no, I have freedom. Listen to this. But why do you do what you're doing? And you can't stop. Tell me. Just look at me. Why can't you stop? But I can't stop. No, you cannot. You think you can. You want to. But you go back into the same old thing. And every chance you get, you go right back to that thing. You know why? Because you're a prisoner. You say, no, but I'm in church. But you're going to go back in jail. Okay? Because unless the Son of God set you free, you're not free. But it's whom the Son of God has set free, he is free indeed. You say, but I'm not in prison. Yes, you are. Yes, you can be. Unless Jesus sets you free, sets us free, all of us. We are in prison. And every one of us, we're slaves to different things. And the devil doesn't care. He just wants to lock you up and keep you locked up. And we've been locked up since the fall. And it's only the cross of Calvary that can set us free. But notice right now, you come out of one prison, but that prison is destruction. But you run into another prison, but that's eternal life, salvation, and life. Because Paul found that out. This great apostle Paul loved the law keeper, but yet he was in prison. But on the road to Damascus, God set him free. Jesus set him free out of that prison. And what happened? He apprehended him for his service. And Paul was able to say, if you read his apostle, what does he started with and say? I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you tonight, whose prisoners are you? I said, whose prisoners are you? Who's got you in jail? What is it that keep us in jail? But Paul got to where he was a free man. But yet, to be really free, you've got to become a prisoner of Christ. Where I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And you get to know where we all have a fleshly body. But the life which I now live in the flesh. You're always going to have the flesh. But there's another life. You're not living after the flesh. You're not walking after the flesh. But the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a free man. Amen. But notice here, it says, you bring me out of prison, Lord. Bring my soul out of prison. That I may praise thy name. Okay? So we had a scripture where the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And what does the righteous do? The righteous run, not delay, and drag your feet like Lot coming out of Sodom. He didn't want to leave. You know, you want to hold on to the past. We want to hold on to those dead things. Because that's all they are. If Jesus doesn't give it life, it's dead. Or life, where we came out of the past, it's all dead. And the righteous run it into it, and they're safe. Are saved, delivered. Because you're covered by this wonderful name. And you have the armor on. Okay? Now, it says, the righteous shall compass me about, because that's where you are, that's where you go. Where the righteous is. Where do you think he takes you? To the fellowship of the saints. So when you look around and there's no righteous people there, you know you're in trouble. If you're always seeking a fellowship, or go there and look around and hey, unsaved this and unsaved that, and no brothers and sisters are not there, you're in trouble. The righteous, when you're delivered, you want to be surrounded by righteous men and women. You don't run to place that's going to, come on, everybody, look at me. You don't run to places that destroy you. You go to the righteous. I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you understand that? That's where you want to go. When you really love God and you're delivered from prison. But when you don't and you're still in prison, you might come to church and you might say, I'm saved and that. But you're still bound to the past. Tradition. To that. Because you love it. You can't miss it. Don't kid yourself now, because you don't know the scripture like you think you do. And you play with the scriptures. And well, I'm Christian, but I fellowship with the unsaved. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, help me, of the ungodly, nor standeth. No, no, you see that? Walk, stand, sit. Sit, walk, stand. When you go to that party or that, what do? You either sit, walk, stand. But a blessed man, he said, now, he didn't say you got to drink and smoke and curse and chew. I do anything like that. But what it says, all you got to do is stand or sit or walk. You already do it. And you're just as guilty as they are. Sit, walk, stand. Blessed is the man that walketh not. You got to walk to get there. Drive, whatever you do. Nor, help me, nor. Walk it not in the counsel of the godly, nor stand it. You go through the same door in the ways of sinners. You got to go get the same fruit punch. Dip in the same bowl, dip up your plate. You say, well, but I don't curse. The Bible didn't say that. He said you just have to walk and fellowship. Because you're not compassed about with the righteous. The cloud of witnesses. You're not surrounded with the saints. Because Elisha was a righteous man. And when the ungodly came up to get him, they couldn't. Because he was surrounded by a mountain of righteous people. And when this little servant who didn't know God was panicking, Elisha said, Lord, open this guy's eyes that he may see. Because they're more, are they on our side? And than on their side. So sometimes you might feel like, I'm lonely, I got a fellowship. No, you don't. There's more on your side. Now, where was I? Psalms. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scorn. The scornful means they don't love Jesus. When you talk about Jesus, you begin to talk about Jesus, they are. The scornful. The seat of the scornful, that means they sit there and you over there and you're, and you can't talk about your Jesus, but they can talk about their whiskey. Or their sports. Or whatever they want to talk about. But if you talk about Jesus, boy, leave your religion home. They want to hear about the Lord. That is the seat of the scornful. They scorn the name of the Lord. You say they don't? Yes, they do. No. You say, well, that's not talking about my cousin and my brother. He's talking about them. That's who he's talking about. That's who he's talking about. You see, you haven't grown up yet enough and love God enough to know to stand up and buck against your relative and say, no, I am a new person. Amen. I am a child of God. You haven't known that. Amen. You just cave in. Because you're ashamed. And you have no backbone. You're spineless. You don't have any backbone. That's what happened to a lot of Christians. The ungodly are more bold. But remember now, it's the other way around. It's the righteous is as bold as a lion.
Amen.
You stand there or wherever you are and say, no, I'm saved. But they laugh at you. If while you're dipping up the Kool-Aid, they're dipping up the Kool-Aid at the same time. Or when they go for the sauce and gravy, your hand is in it too. And you're going to tell them about Jesus? He said, you ain't saved. You're just like us. Yeah. Or you're not giving up anything. You don't know how to make sacrifice. Christ made a sacrifice. Yeah. God gave his son. And you can't give up nothing. You got to have everything. I got to enjoy myself. Yes, go ahead. But the scripture says, there's a scripture that says, what it says? She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she's alive. You didn't know that, Timothy? Huh? You just want pleasure. And you love pleasure more than God. You love to be entertained more than God. Now, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking to this church right now. Because if you love pleasure more than how you love God, you're in trouble. Your soul is in bondage. And I'm preaching tonight. See, your soul is in bondage. And now you got to get out of that prison. Well, how do I get out? When they invite you, say, look, I want to repent to you. I want to ask your forgiveness. Because I'm a child of God, but I've been coming to your party too long. But I'm not coming anymore. I'm not coming anymore. Will you please forgive me? Not for not coming now, but for coming on all those many times. You try that. Oh, say, I'll talk to you, but I'm not coming to your party no more. I'm not going to eat your pancake, your hot dogs, no more. Amen. Oh, you don't have that. You know, I couldn't do that. Well, stay. Stay like you are. And you're going to find where you end up. You're going to end up among the weak ones. Go ahead, have fun. But all the fun, and you look back, and what do you have? What did you gain? Nothing at all. Eh? Nothing. There's nothing to it. It's a wind. But you want to build upon a rock. Somebody say amen. You want to bring upon a rock. You've got to. The men and the women in the Bible, they grew up. You've been talking about Ruth. I enjoy that so much. Ruth, she had to take her stand. But look what happened to her. See, when you have Jesus Christ, the world don't mean that much to you. When you really love Jesus, you don't get lonely. I mean, you feel that gap. It's when you don't let the Lord in and you're playing church, then you have to seek something from outside to make you happy. But there's not really anything outside that can really give the happiness. You might think you have it, but after it's over, you're miserable, don't it? You feel unclean and dirty and confused and rejected. And you feel like the scum of the earth. You don't feel good, eh? When you get out there and sin, drink, carry and curse, true, spit, I don't care what you do. You don't feel good. But when you spend a time with Jesus, man. Hallelujah. When the devil says, go. And he says, no. And you pick your Bible up and get a scripture. And you begin to read the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And again I say rejoice. And if you're in trouble, which you are, cry to the Lord. Remember we had the scripture? And he heard my voice. But you don't want to open your mouth and cry. You want to get on the telephone, the text, sir. You want to sell, you want to tweet, you want to twinkle. You want to do everything. But you can't get your Bible. You can't open your Bible. But you can go to hell and back. You can drive across town. You can drive across the state to fulfill that little desire inside. I mean, it's over. You feel dirty. But then you go right back to it again. Because there's a scripture where the sow goes right back to the mud. You put on a nice three-piece suit, but he wants to go wash and wallow in it. He doesn't feel comfortable. These are parables now. In a three-piece suit. Nice and clean. He likes the mud. And the devil likes to keep us in the mud. And the devil mocks us. Because the devil only had one purpose, to keep us in jail. He doesn't set anybody free. No. The devil doesn't Yes, he doesn't set you free. He's going to keep you in there. And you're not coming out until you can pay the ultimate price. And the only way we can pay is through the blood. Hallelujah. Do you believe that tonight? Let me see your hand. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all our sins. So Psalms says he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but look at the next verse. Says, but his delight, you see, there's a delight. The secret is when you delight in the church, delight in work. But listen, if you use the church as an excuse, I'm going to go to church, but you didn't come to church, you went somewhere else. Who do you think you're kidding? Look at that. Read that. Everybody read that loud. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he doeth meditate day and night. Here is a secret of deliverance from prison. A daily, day and night, meditating in the law of God. Somebody say amen. It's when you put the Bible down, you get in trouble. Everybody knows you've not been reading, praying, trusting God at that time. You don't read it. You might pretend. All right, you got the Bible in one hand and you got the phone in the other one. I'll late you hoping until I'm coming over. You read the Bible at the same. No. Come on. You can't serve two masters, see? Right. You got to give up one. No, I'd rather give up the devil and keep Jesus. Yeah. I would rather come out of the prison house. And let me tell you, I hope that every one of us can. You can. Come out of prison. There's not a prison door that Jesus cannot open tonight. Jesus is a jailbreaker. Come on. He breaks the bars of iron and cut the gates of brass asunder. And he set the captives free. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal, deliver, set the prisoners free. Tonight, Jesus will break us out of jail. Thank God for Jesus. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate. See that secret? Day and night. Not day. You sit there at night laying over. Oh, I did that sin. I did that sin. But I missed that one. I need to fulfill that sin. Oh, that's okay. And then I'm going to serve God when I complete. No. You sit there. You lay there. And when you can't sleep, don't go take a lot of sleeping pills to knock you out. God might be wanting to talk to you, convict you, say something to you. So in his law, he delight, meditate day and night. You know there are people that you start talking about God, what happened? What did they do? 5 minutes and they fall asleep. But if you're talking about something else, they don't fall asleep. Or they avoid you. You know somebody, they avoid the standoffish. That's the time they need to come forward to the pastor. Because he that cover it, you put a blanket of religion over. I mean, people make mistakes. That's not the point. The point is to repent. You get it? The point is to repent, because there's forgiveness with the Lord. There's not a sin, not a wrong that God cannot forgive. That's why we love him. And none of us would be here tonight, because there's none righteous, none of us. But it's through Christ. There's nobody here that can condemn one another. But it's through Christ. Hope of glory. Forgiveness. Somebody say deliverance. And a lot of us not, when the devil knock you down, Christ pick you up. You're saying, I wonder if he's going to knock me down again. No. Only when you don't obey the word of God. For in his law he meditate day and night. Look what happened. The next verse says, and he, that same old weak person one time, but he changed his lifestyle. He's not in prison anymore. But now what he does, he meditates on the law of God day and night. Look what's going to happen to him. And he shall be like a tree. Shout somebody. Do you know what it means? A tree that sent its roots down and get a hold of the rock. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you know what the rivers of water does? There is a river, and the streams whereof shall make glad the cities of God, the holy places of the tabernacle of the Most High. God's in the middle of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. When you meditate, you're going to be like a tree that has sent its root deep down past the surface. And you break through. And you go down and you find that underground river. My Lord. Your tap root. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That bringeth forth fruit in his season. These are the fruits of the Spirit. His leaf, testimony. You see the leaf right there? It's testimony. When somebody see you, they said, oh, that's, I know her. I know him. We go to the same party on Friday, Friday night. We go to the same parties and Saturday night. And then on Sunday, oh, they go to church, but they'll be at party Friday night. Yeah. Saturday night. And so they don't, they got your seat. They know where you sit. Because you're a regular. You, when it comes to fun and entertainment, you don't miss. You feel you got the best of both worlds. I ain't going to lose nothing. I deserve it. I work hard. I need to go and have some fun. Go on. But remember now, brothers and sisters, when you see those saints in the kingdom, you remember they paid a price. And why we waste ours. You couldn't take a stand. We, you know, couldn't say no to that. And we never grow up. We've got to get to the place where enough is enough. And say, devil, I know you've knocked me down a lot of times. I didn't know. I was born in sin, shaping iniquity. Weak as anything else. I didn't have I was full of darkness, didn't have the understanding. But now, the true light is shining. And I heard that there's a man called Jesus that can lift me up, break me out of prison. I'm going to believe him and trust him from this day forward. I heard here that if I don't walk in the steps of the ungodly, nor sit in the seats of scornful, or stand in the way of sinners, but meditate in the law of God, I'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither. And, hey, you want a blessing? Do you have an invention? Do you have a business you want to start? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You ought to shout. Hey, lift your hands up and praise him. Whatever, hey, everybody, listen to this. You remember now, it says in closing, whatever, repeat after me, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When Joseph was in Egypt, everything that Joseph touched, God blessed it, right? And prospered it. Everything he put his hand to, he prospered. If you lied on him, God turned it into a blessing. Amen. If they sold him in Egypt, they meant it for evil. God meant it for good. He ended up a governor. Let me tell you, you are not in the business of they firing you and kicking you out of jobs.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I just said?
Amen.
You're firing you, kicking out of job. You're afraid of your job. No. But everything you touch, I don't care if you're a bookkeeper or if you wrap hamburger. Anything you do. The chef back there might not be the best chef, but when you wrap it and give it to the customer, your burger tastes the best. Anything. I came down here and I told you that I am going to have a party. Did I say that? Look what happened. I touched it. But it prospered. The Lord said, no, I don't want to have it upstairs or in the church. Move it over to the castle. Anything you touch, prosper. Anything you can, God said, I can do better than that. I'm going to bless you more. Are you listening now? Not anything you touch and you're failing. You're a failure. You're a loser. A loser. You got nothing. You will end up as a bum with your jeans walk under your shoes and your beard and your haven't had a bath in 2 weeks and a cup of coffee and a donut and your bed is the bridge. You don't see the future. Are you hanging over the garbage can picking up a few cans? And I'm not knocking that because some people mean hard times, but not for you. Whatever you touch, you prosper. Anything you touch, you're not a loser. Anything that you touch, you prosper. Amen. And that's why, when a man of God touch you, amen. Listen. Listen, anything you touch, they shall lay hands on the sick, and what happened?
They shall be healed.
That's it, anything you touch. Anything you touch, prosper. You put your hand on, it prosper. That's what the Bible said. Whatever you do, if you barbecue, it prosper. If you work on the job, anything you do. Are you listening now? You might have married, and after you think your wife is ugly, and she's not as pretty as the other one. But when you begin to walk and follow and meditate God, and when you touch that woman, you say, my God, I didn't know you were so pretty. Now, my wife is a beautiful woman. But I tell you a secret happened to me today. Can I tell you a secret? I haven't told my wife yet what happened to me. She's wondering now and say, Pastor is crazy. What he's going to say? But can you listen to this? It's a lesson. I know I got a nice looking wife. Everybody say?
Amen.
All right. All the people say amen.
Amen.
A lovely wife. Precious, awesome wife, right? Good. What do you say? Okay, everybody say?
Amen.
But today she was out and I was upstairs. I can show you the proof. And we've had this picture, I don't know even how long, that we were in Jamaica. And we had gone to a wedding of my nephew. And we all dress up in our nice tuxedo. And we really look good. Man and wife look real good. They commended each other. So, and I slid out my chair, sat there, and I looked down and I saw this picture right there by the fireplace. And I said, that lady is beautiful. I had to lean over and pick up the picture and look at it and say, my, what a beautiful woman. That did. Today. Whatever you do, amen, you prosper. Amen. I touch the picture and I discover this woman is so beautiful. Amen. She was before I touched, but I just got an insight that what a beautiful woman. I did, and that's happened to me. I'm not lying. Have you ever gone back and pick up your picture of your wife? Or your that's a hard thing, but if you can pick up a picture of your husband and say, he is still handsome after 20 years, then you know. But for a woman, I did that today. And I probably would not, but the lesson lead me to tell her. And I say, if you don't believe me, I can bring the picture down and you can see it. Very good looking, pretty, beautiful woman. So, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right. Then, next verse. Here's the difference. Now, draw the line. So, what side would you be like on? What we just read, or you want to be, look at this. But the ungodly are not so. They're not prosperous. They're not blessed. They're not, you name it. You can take your stand, pick your choice where you want to be. You want to stand in the counsel of the ungodly, or you want to stand in the way of the righteous. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth amid. It's just a matter of time. You're here today and you're gone. Because that thing that you're trusting in going to spit you out. Well, somebody said, I can't find true love at home. All right. You think you're going to find it in the street? Huh? Well, you see, I got so many thoughts about my husband or my wife or my children. I wish I had another. I wish my son or my daughter was different. You're crazy. The grass is not greener on the other side. If it looks green, it's because you got something over your eyes. It's dry. Ain't nothing over there. Well, you see, I love her. What's love? See, love is when somebody can sleep on the floor. You know what love is? We think love is a little smushy thing. But is love is when somebody can stand there and tell the nurse or the nursing says, I don't need you. I'm going to take care of my husband. Well, she shouted at me and so on. Come on. She shouted at you with the mouth. But you shout at her at another outlet. You get what I mean. She look like you don't understand what I'm talking about. When she got to stand all of that outlet and put you back together, that's love. When she stand there by herself and clean you and help you. Let me tell you something. If I didn't have a wife, I would be here. She dressed me, picked my clothes out, feed me, went out, got food for me, put my medicine. That's what love is. For better, for worse. Sickness, and in that. That was what it's taken. He didn't say she get prettier or ugly. That's not the vow. Well, I love that one better because somehow she smiled. My wife, her smile go to the left. This girl, hers go to the right. Oh, boy. Well, why don't you straighten your wife and help her and love her and kiss her on one side until it goes to the side you like? See, but we get deceived. But this, I want to try to show you now. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, goes on, says. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They're gone, are sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord, there it brings it back now, the ways of the righteous. You know you're not perfect, you make mistakes, but he's going to forgive you. That's what this lesson is for tonight. It's a forgiving message. Can you ask God to forgive you right you are and begin to repent and ask God to touch me? That thing you have against that person, maybe not even in this church. Ask God to help you to let it go. So to get you out of jail. This lesson tonight is to show us how to get out of prison. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? It sums it up. The way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. So what way do you want to follow? Do you want to, is that all? That's it? Do you want to stay in jail? Or do you want to get out? Who is on the Lord's side? Let me see your hand. Tonight, who's on the Lord's side? Now. If you begin to trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't deceive yourself and say, I can make it all by myself, you cannot. The devil will knock you over every time. We're going to get into those lessons. This is on part two. Do you like tonight, part two? Yes. Are the prisoners coming out? Yes. You have to want to come out. You have to cry. He knock you down, you get back up in Jesus' name. He knock you down, don't stay down. And then the devil tried to cover you with a pride, a blanket of pride. No. You got to face up with mistake, with problems, with sin. And you face up to the Lord and say, Lord, I am sorry. And you know, a lot of people, they do wrong. Makes it. And you know who they go to? They run to the people who cannot help them. And said, I'm telling you something now, but remember, don't tell nobody. And you just open the floodgate. Because when the phone is out and when it's over, they are going to tell everybody. And that person doesn't have a forgiving spirit. They'll gossip you and chew you and eat you and spit you out. But when they're listening and want to hear the gossip, they say, tell me. I won't tell anybody. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. So we used to sing a song, Tell It to Jesus. Amen. Still works. Yeah. Tell it to Jesus. Yeah. I want to tell you, you begin to tell the Lord your troubles, your problems, like Psalms 142. The first verse is coming down. This poor man, I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me and delivered me out of all my troubles. All of my troubles. You got troubles you cannot get out of? And somebody say, well, I can leave church. The devil does leave. At every good service, the devil leave. Because that's what you chase. And that spirit, well, I got to go there. No. Say, devil, I'm not leaving. You're not going to take me out of church. But you're going out of my life. Amen. And you sit and, oh, you take your whipping. Because the word of God whip you. Any son that God receive, he scourge them. Amen. Oh, it might be a little rough. Might be a little bumpy, but you hold on. I said, hold on. And he said, devil, you're a liar. I said, always better to deal with our problems now than to face it later. Because nobody can get away. Nobody. But thank God that he makes the way. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. He brings our soul out of prison that we may praise his name. The righteous shall come past me about. That's Mount Zion. Wherefore we are seen, therefore we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. That is Mount Zion, right?
Amen.
You've come to Mount Zion.
Yes.
The righteous shall compass me about and?
For thou shalt deal bountifully with
me. Do you know what bountiful means? My cup is full and running over. Oh, that's blessing.
Yes.
Like in famine, you prosper.
Yes.
When the palm tree and the cedar of Lebanon, why they prosper in the desert, when everything is drying up, because they send their roots deep. And you send your roots into the river.
Amen.
The streams that make glad the cities of God. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you tonight. Amen. God bless.